This message comes from Capital One. Your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services backed by the strength of a top 10 commercial bank. Visit CapitalOne.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. Members of the Israeli government are meeting ahead of new talks this week aimed at a possible ceasefire agreement between Israel and Hamas. NPR's Jacqueline Diaz reports.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's War and Security Cabinet is meeting to discuss guidelines for the upcoming negotiations in Doha. This comes after the Israeli Defense Minister met with senior officials of the military, the intelligence agency Mossad, the security agency Shin Bet, and delegates to the ceasefire talks on Saturday. That conversation was focused on efforts to return hostages held by Hamas in Gaza. The Israeli government is gearing up for a new round of talks with Hamas leaders in Doha, after months of stalled negotiations. Hamas and Israeli leaders have remained far apart on details of a potential deal. Jacqueline Diaz, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
The polls are closed in Russia after a three-day presidential election. As expected, exit polls forecast that Vladimir Putin won. The BBC's Danny Eberhardt has more.
That Vladimir Putin would win this election, and officially by a huge margin, was never in doubt. Any genuine opposition politician had been excluded previously. Some were disqualified from standing. Other, more high-profile Putin critics are in jail, exile, or, like Alexei Navalny, dead. Those ordinary Russians who oppose Mr. Putin appeared to heed a call from Mr. Navalny's allies to queue at polling stations at midday to select any other candidate or spoil their ballots. Queues snaked around the block in places. Meanwhile, abroad, Mr. Navalny's widow, Yulia Navalnaya, queued up to vote in the Russian embassy in Berlin. She said she'd written her late husband's name on the ballot. She's accused Mr. Putin of murdering him in an Arctic jail a month ago, something the Kremlin denies.
The BBC's Danny Eberhardt. Age and mental fitness are becoming bigger talking points as the two oldest presumptive presidential nominees in history ramp up their re-election campaigns. President Biden addressed that issue last night at the annual Gridiron Dinner in Washington. NPR's Amy Held reports.
81-year-old President Biden told the crowd, one candidate is too old and mentally unfit to be president. The other is me. Biden was referring, of course, to former President Donald Trump, who is 77. Capping last week's primaries when their rematch became official and each made history as their party's oldest presumptive nominees to ever run. It's led to age questions. Each has made verbal mix-ups, sparking accusations of memory lapses. Biden is increasingly addressing the issue head-on. He leaned on humor at the dinner, which allows no cameras. Of his State of the Union address, Biden said, "I crushed it." But he added, "Expectations were so low, I just had to show up and remember who the president is." Amy Held, NPR News.
This is NPR News in Washington. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine declared a state of emergency today after severe weather last week. Storms and tornadoes battered 11 counties. Three people were killed in the Indian Lake area of Logan County. The declaration orders all state departments and agencies to lend their services, equipment, and personnel to aid in response and recovery efforts. Officials in the nation's capital will soon remove about 140 of the city's famous cherry trees. It's part of a project to adapt to rising sea levels at one of the country's most visited national parks. Jacob Fenston has more.
People flock to the tidal basin each spring to take selfies among the cherry blossoms or even get engaged. That's what Jody Axon did some 20 years ago. But things look pretty different nowadays.
The part that we got engaged in is now underwater. The whole path, the whole section is underwater. So like when I come down and tell my kids, children, Dad and I got engaged in that watery area.
The walkways around the tidal basin flood every day at high tide. Due to sinking land and rising sea level, the water's now about 6 feet higher than it was a century ago. Later this spring, the National Park Service will start cutting down cherry trees as part of a project to raise the seawalls. Officials say they'll be high enough to withstand the next 100 years of climate change. For NPR News, I'm Jacob Fenston.
Tonight, college basketball fans will learn this year's brackets. The Houston Cougars are the number one ranked men's team, but lost a chance at the tournament's automatic bid after losing to Iowa State last night. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Acorn TV. Acorn TV is brilliant television told brilliantly. From charmingly cozy mysteries to daringly dark dramas. Visit acorn.tv for a 30-day free trial with promo code NPR. Acorn TV. Brilliant.